Chapter 19.
Nikari and I didn't waste any time in the morning. After checking on our prisoners, we were back at the hangar at daybreak, anxious to get the new engine installed. It proved to be more time-consuming than we'd hoped. It was a surplus job from Kuat Drive Yards. Plenty of power, but not designed with a sleek housing in mind. So we had to make some rather ugly modifications to the Jewel's clean lines to make it work, ripping up some plating and welding on basic gray replacements. Nikari wasn't happy about it at all, and it would make the ship tougher to fly in the atmosphere, especially Kupo's. But she spoke to the Jewel as she worked, telling the ship it was only temporary and vowing to return her to her former beauty. When Drusel entered the hangar mid-morning, brandishing a large carry sack and holding her datapad like a weapon, I suspected that she had bad news for us, though I could not imagine how she would look different if she had good news. Nikari and I took a break from working on the Desert Jewel and met her at the metal table that constituted the staff dining area. "Hey, Drusel." She held up a hand to stop me and shook her head once. Then she pointed to the carry sack and beckoned us closer. Once we stopped next to her, she pulled out some thick fishbowl helmets with electronics inside.
"Put these on," she said, "and seal them before speaking."
It was a strange request, and I didn't see an oxygen system, but I took the helmet anyway to humor her, figuring I'd take it off after a few minutes. Once we were all under glass and sealed up, Drusel's tinny voice came through the built-in comm.
"I've been assured that these are soundproof. We need to speak now, and cannot risk being overheard by Mr. Walauk over there, or anyone else."
"Where did you get these?" Nikari asked.
"That is unimportant,"
Drusel said, her voice curt.
"I have been monitoring Imperial communications while taking care of our charges, and we are faced with a quandary."
"What's that?" I asked.
"The Empire has blockaded all outgoing traffic from Kupo. They are almost certain we are here."
Nessun hadn't mentioned that to us. How did they become so certain?
"I have not calculated the probability that they deduced it on their own versus the probability that they received intelligence from other sources like Mig Birkett. Is that vital that I do so?"
I supposed it wasn't. So I shook my head. The vital question would be how to escape.
"Intercepted transmissions indicate they are inspecting all ships leaving the system, looking at passengers and crew only, not cargo."
"That's disappointing. I guess we could try to hide you in some cargo," I ventured.
"That won't work. They are using lifeform scanners."
"I can't believe the Kupoans are putting up with that," Nikari said.
"They are protesting, to be sure, and are demanding the immediate departure of Imperial ships. But the Empire is stalling them for now. Their story is that they are looking for certain criminals only, and have no other interest in Kupoan affairs. So far, that seems to be true. They are not holding anyone, just inspecting, and then having their interdictors turn off their gravity projectors at intervals to allow cleared ships to leave. All incoming ships are left unmolested. Since the net result is an inconvenience only to outbound ships, and it is in pursuit of criminals, the Kupoans have little cause to push the Empire too hard, especially when the appearance of rebellion would bring an even larger force in system."
"Okay, thanks," I said, not knowing what else to say. This would require some thought.
"I was not finished,"
Drusel replied.
"I have a recommended course of action."
"Oh, sorry. Go ahead."
"Our best options for achieving our goal rest in taking two steps. One, abandon the Desert Jewel and secure alternative transport off-planet. The Jewel is too recognizable now, and we would attract attention as soon as we left the hangar. However, a repaired ship can be traded or sold for another. Two, forge an entirely new hyperspace lane between here and Omareth, one that the Empire cannot possibly be blocking. Can we even do that?
Nakari asked. I was surprised she hadn't immediately vetoed the idea of abandoning her ship. Yeah, I've done it before, I said. With the jewel, in fact. It was just a short trip to throw off any pursuit as I was returning to the rebel fleet, but R2 is brilliant that way. How long a jump are you proposing, Drusel?
I am in favor of executing several short jumps until we are well outside the Empire's probable containment. Then we can use a safer, well-established route to get to Omarith.
A few days earlier, I would have questioned Drusel's suggestion as a genuine one. But despite many opportunities to betray us, especially here on Kupo, she had never taken advantage. Her assistance in keeping our presence here a secret had been invaluable, in fact. I was willing to believe now that she just wanted to reunite with her family on Omarith. And aside from that, I just felt that she was telling the truth. Whether that was attributable to my force sensitivity or not, I didn't know.
What about those interdictors in this system?
Nakari pressed.
Aren't those gravity projectors going to keep us here? They would keep us from using any established lane out of here,
the Given replied.
But of course, we will not be using any of them. We will be exiting the system in another direction, where their simulated mass will not hinder our hyperdrive. May I show you?
Please do, I said. I cast an uncertain glance at the surface of the dining table. It was decorated with brown calf rings and assorted sandwich crumbs, which we didn't notice when we were going to add to it, but looked mildly horrifying if you wanted to place anything valuable on top of it. Drusel didn't care, though. She approached the table and put down her data pad so that we could see it easily without peering over her shoulder. It displayed a map of the system that had been marked with glowing yellow dots and blue circles around them as if they identified orbits.
The Empire's interdictors are blocking egress here, here, and here.
She pointed with a pale finger to three yellow dots.
I have indicated the mass shadows of their gravity projectors with blue lines. So to escape, we must plot a course out of the system in between those mass shadows and travel a goodly distance off-planet before the hyperdrive can engage. And you see that there are several options available to us, but our interest would be to move to the galactic east, correct?
Yes, I admitted. But there's almost nothing mapped out in that direction.
Precisely why they won't consider it a possible avenue of escape.
You're right, nobody would consider it, including me. I'm all for the element of surprise, don't get me wrong, but what are you using for a navigation point? Not Gamor, right? Because there's an entire sector of space between here and there, and that sector is largely unexplored. There might be uncharted brown dwarfs, or planets, or any number of things we could run into if you just pick a direction and go.
One moment.
Drusel dismissed the system map and called up a second one, which was a much larger view of several sectors, except that it had math symbols written all over it.
We will use this star, here.
She pointed to an equation below and left of center, and I failed to see any indication of a star. The marks looked indistinguishable from any other set of scribbles on the map. I had no idea what she was talking about. I'm sorry, which star again? You pointed to an equation.
That's the star.
What?
Unexplored space does not equate to unobserved space. An analysis of the movements of other stars around it proved that it must be there. No one has viewed it yet, except through the lens of mathematics. But such a lens is frequently better than mere glass.
Nakari and I exchanged a glance with widened eyes, each wondering if the other had heard the same thing. Except that I can reach out with my hand and verify that the glass is there, I said.
Your senses can be fooled. Math and physics do not lie.
No, I'm not suggesting that you did the math incorrectly. I'm wondering how you can be sure that you've considered everything, or didn't accidentally miss a variable. Your senses can be fooled as well, right? How do you know you've accounted for everything?
I cannot be 100% certain, of course, but I am confident that I have extrapolated correctly based on the stars we do know about.
Well, on the positive side, the Empire certainly won't be looking there,
Nakari said.
On the negative side, if you're wrong, we'll most likely be dead.
It's a pretty big risk, Drusel, I said.
It is far less risky than remaining here for an extended period. How long can we expect to remain hidden and unreported to the Empire? And to keep Mig Birkett and Barisk Faven in captivity? The variables are too numerous to consider, except for the significant pressure the Empire will put on the Kapoans to surrender us.
Her eyes flicked over to the jewel, where Ra'uf Wala'uk and the Wookiee continued to work in our absence. She lowered her voice, even though we were supposedly wearing soundproof helmets, and continued.
Even if Azor does not betray us, one of those other crew members will. You have already seen how unreliable they are. This astrogation, however, is based on quantifiable and verifiable data. I can walk you through the math, if you wish.
No, that's okay. I believe you, I said. It just seems like we're jumping blind.
Propose an alternative method by which we may escape this planet and make it to Amarith before my family gives up hope and departs.
Give me some time to think about it.
How many units of time?
Until the repairs to the Desert Jewel are finished. I know that's non-specific, but at least it's a deadline.
Will we not take another ship?
I wouldn't want to take another ship than the Jewel. Even as patchwork as she looks now, we're not going to find another one like her. And we need every advantage we can get. Nakari gave a thumbs up to indicate her agreement.
What advantages are necessary?
Drusel asked.
Once we go around the Imperial forces and make it to the Omarith system, we should have no trouble. The Imperials are spread too thin to watch everything.
That didn't sound like her. She should have rattled off a statistical probability of precisely how thin the Imperial fleet would be at any given point in the galaxy. But I think her desperation to get off-planet and reunite with her family was clouding her usual clear thought. Stakes being what they are, they might have pursued your family, I said. We still hadn't heard anything from the Alliance regarding that part of the mission. There's no knowing if Major Durlan got them there or not, and if he did, whether he did so without detection. If he was followed, we could have some bounty hunters watching the planet waiting for you to show up, all with their own custom ships. The Empire might even be there. We don't want to be in a standard slow bird in a situation like that.
Can we not contact the Alliance, then, and enlist some more robust assistance?
I've already tried that, too, I admitted. Aside from using the dead drop, I asked Azure to get a message through to the Alliance, requesting more help. They're probably lying low right now with the Empire here in such numbers. The Given's tone turned morose.
Under such circumstances as these, that would be a delay of indeterminate length, with no guarantee of aid.
I'm afraid so. Using crisp movements, Drusel cleared the maps from her datapad and made a conscious effort to ameliorate her tone.
Barring unforeseen complications, then, we shall forge a new path through the silence, she said. But in the jewel.
Yes, I said. Work had proceeded even faster than anticipated, and I thought that we could technically get the Desert Jewel ready to fly by that evening. But I didn't want to try managing such a journey without a good night's rest first. We'd have hazards enough without compounding them with a Logi pilot. We're going to put in a new transponder identifying us as one of Nessun's couriers, and we should be able to leave tomorrow. When I tried to nod for emphasis, I smushed my nose against the inside of the helmet, and it hurt because even that tiny impact reminded me of the blow I had taken from Faven. Nakari seemed to find my pained reaction endlessly entertaining.